Numbers chapter 21. Before I read the passage here that we're going to look at, let me first step back just for a moment. And hopefully you have come to the point where you recognize after a weekend of a lot of preaching, a weekend of hoping, opening your heart to the Lord, presenting yourself and saying, Lord, speak to me. Hopefully you've come to the point where you realize that growing in Christ ought to be the most important thing to you. If you love the Lord, it will be. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the goal, right? And so hopefully as you've come out of midwinter retreat and as the Holy Spirit was able to specifically identify some sins that you, for whatever reason, collected to yourself along the way, hopefully you've been able to offload some of those things. Say, Lord, I'm going to lay this down because it's wrong and I want to be pleasing in your sight. Hopefully you were able to identify some of those things. And hopefully now, as Brother Downs concluded, you're of the mindset of, okay, I want to press on now. Okay, now I know where I was a month ago, or I know what I was last week, a week from now, but now I want to position myself forward. Okay, now I don't want to struggle with those things that I did last week and things I collected. Now I want to go on, and I want to look forward, and I want to grow in grace. And hopefully that's your mindset. I hope that tonight as you sit here that you still have the enthusiasm you had as we broke off things after the Sunday morning service. Now, that desire of, Lord, I felt like I grew closer to you. Lord, I felt like that you were speaking to me and it was special and Lord, you worked in me. And now I want that to continue. I desire and I thirst after that. I pray that is your heart coming out of the retreat. But if I could just ask a question, what are some things that could potentially derail that mindset or derail your desire to continue on for the Lord, derail that growth process that Paul talks about, or rather that Peter talks about in the second letter that he wrote? What are some potential things that could derail us? I want to get some feedback from you guys, okay? What are some things that could get us off track or that could take us off track from that desire day to day? Somebody share something with me. Brooklyn?
Other interests.
Okay, other interests. I'll take some specifics. Somebody give me some specifics. What are some other interests that could derail us? Yes. Okay. All right. Sports. Yes, certainly. I could be more interested in one particular sport or a whole realm of sports more so than I am about my spiritual life. That could easily derail me. Grace. Say again. Yeah. Academics. Now, that's a tough one because that's a requirement right now for you guys. It's not like you can just say, well, I'm going to serve God, Mom. Woo! I threw the math book away. It's gone. It's a requirement. I mean, you have to keep up with it. It's important that you study, right? Right? Okay, some of you are like, I never do. Okay, and your grade reflect it, right? But there's a balance there, right? And it can't become the thing in your life. Let's go somebody else. Yeah, Ethan?
Friends.
Yeah, 100%. Boy, sometimes we as guys don't think we're relational, but we are. Everybody is, you know. Everybody is. We all enjoy connections, friendships. We tend to thrive on those things, even when we think we don't. Plays a big part in our lives. Stephen, what is it? Axe?
Pets.
Pets can derail it. I guess I could love a pet so much that it would derail me from loving the Lord. Yeah. Brooklyn? Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, for sure. Is it possible to give yourself to a game or a system that would keep you away from loving the Lord as much as you should? Yeah, it certainly could. Savannah, did you have one? She stole yours, my goodness. Kate?
Physical appearance.
Yeah, man. You know, we get so focused on ourselves that, boy, we forget created in His image, right? And molded into His image, not what I think I want to be. All right, well, I won't take any more, but I think there are a number of things. One thing that was not said that I think we could say tonight is not having a quiet time with God every day. Well, I think that's a big one. You know, if I want to stay on the rails of my Christian life, well, I've got to have some sustenance. I've got to have some intake. I've got to hunger after God's word. That's the fuel. You know, you don't put a locomotive on the rail tracks there and just assume it's just going to go because you gave it a good push. Okay, it's not going to happen. It needs something to fuel it, and your Christian life is fueled by your time alone with God. And that's where our devotionals come in. We have our devotionals tonight. I hope that if you don't have a habit of reading, you'll jump in regards to our teen program and get involved in devotions. Devotions are important, okay? James, you want to continue on for the Lord? You need to have a quiet time with God, okay? It needs to be regular, okay? Michaela? Same thing, okay? You've got to have a quiet time with the Lord. When we set those things aside, all of a sudden things take its place, and then all of a sudden we get distracted, like Brooklyn was talking about. That personal quiet time with the Lord cannot be substituted. Without it, we can get out of focus really, really quickly. What's something else that could derail us in our desire to grow? And this is just for you to answer in your mind. I see that hand. But I would say this, a failure, okay, yeah, right? I mean, God spoke to you about that thing. Whatever it was, some of you have articulated it here tonight, but God worked in you in regards to that specific thing. And now it's rubber meets the road, because it's not just that you've lost that desire to do that thing, whatever it is, complaining or not trusting the Lord. That will come back at some point. That temptation to follow that desire or lust, whatever it is, it's not gone completely. It usually doesn't happen that way. It will come back around, and so you're going to have to face that. But what happens if you fail? What happens when you are tempted, and maybe the first 10 times you get the victory over it, but, you know, a month and a half from now, when there's been some time and space between the midwinter retreat, do we become a little bit dull in that moment? And do we give way to that temptation? Could that be something that derails us from being motivated to continue to go on from there? Boy, it certainly could, couldn't it? How many of you say, that could derail me? How many of you say that? You say, that could derail me? And you know what? Maybe it has in the past, and maybe you've struggled with that, but that daily decision, Lord, I want to continue on. Lord, I want to grow in grace. It's something that we all have to make and we all have to pursue, even when we're being tempted or even if we may fail along the way. It's getting back up, continuing on. Let me give you the principle tonight with the time we have left that I want us to look at. And this is what I think can be a great deterrent to fulfilling those commitments or those things which God did in our hearts. And that is discouragement. Discouragement. Now, sometimes we may not think of it as such, but discouragement can play a huge role in our mindset or our approach to following the Lord. When we get discouraged, boy, there's a lot of stuff that just wants to go right out the window. Am I right? I mean, think about this from an academic perspective. You're doing well in a class. You have put a lot of effort into that class. You've stayed up late to study. You have done a lot of work, and you're getting that 85 on the test that you never were able to get before. And then you have that test that comes along. It catches you off guard. You weren't ready for it. And boom, you get a 55 on your next test. What happened? Mom says, what happened? You say, I have no idea, but I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. Just flunk me. I'll work at McDonald's the rest of my life, Mom. I don't care anymore. Okay? How many of you ever been there? You're like, I got discouraged. I just want to throw everything in. Discouragement can do that to you from an academic standpoint. Notice some things. Notice a phrase here that we see in the children of Israel. I'm reading through the first I'm in the book of Numbers right now, and this is always a challenge to me. But you'll notice Numbers chapter 21 here, and verse 4. Look at what the Bible says. And they, this is the children of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people, what does it say here? Everybody see it? The soul of the people, the end of verse 4 there, was much, what? Discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. And then we have their description of what they said. Let's talk about discouragement here just for a couple of minutes. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts to this idea of doing our very best to avoid discouragement. Lord, there are some things that we have no control over, but Lord, we always have control over our spirit. And Lord, that comes through you, and we need your help in that area. But Lord, help us to consider something tonight that could be very dangerous to anyone and everyone who made a decision at the retreat, Lord, and it could be that of discouragement. I pray that it would not be said of us in this room, Father, that discouragement would get us off the tracks of our Christian life. Lord, we need you, and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. If you look at this word discouragement here, it has the idea of to be disheartened, okay? If you think about the two words here, we've got dis and we've got couraged, right? So you say someone who has courage and confidence to go forward is quite the opposite of someone who lacks confidence and courage and their spirit is low. The idea of someone who is low and doesn't feel like they can get up. This speaks to the spirit of Israel. They were discouraged. They were beside themselves, we could say. They were despondent. They were struggling to have the motivation or the desire to get up and to keep going. And quite frankly, if you've not been there in your life, you will. But it can most certainly deter you from following the Lord. I want you to notice a couple of the things that happened in order to get them to where they were in regards to this discouragement. You'll see in chapter 20, you'll see that the Bible says that in verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. In these just 29, 30 verses, there's a number of discouraging things that happened to these people. One of them here is they lack something that they need very much, and that is water. So they start off, they don't have water. In verse 14 and verse 21, they have this encounter with the Edomites, and the Edomites who are related to them. Okay, do you realize that, right? The Edomites and the Israelites, they were related. Okay, so the Israelites say, hey, we want to pass through your land, Edomites, and thinking that their relatives would just say, hey, y'all come in, y'all stay a while, put your feet up. That didn't happen. Okay, in fact, the Edomites are not just rejecting their relatives, but they're saying, look, if you come around here, we're going to kill you. And that, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, hopefully you don't have any relatives like that, all right? Stay away from their homes if you do. But this is a discouraging factor. They've got no water. They're now rejected of their own relatives. They were then threatened. And then there were several people who died here, and that was a discouragement. You notice that Moses' sister dies in verse 1 of chapter 20. And then you have Aaron dies in chapter 20 and verse 29. Aaron passes away. And so, you know, these are not things that the children of Israel could necessarily have helped. They could not have changed the circumstances. They could not have prevented Aaron or Miriam from dying. Well, they couldn't do that. These were just life events that brought about changes in their spirit, and they literally felt like they were so low that they could not get up. Now, there are times when tragedy strikes you and my life, and that is a part of life. We have to learn how to trust God through it. And although there may be sorrow, there may be grief that enters our life, the Lord does not want us to handle that on our own. He doesn't want us to feel like we're at a place where we are helpless. There was a teenager who came to me not long ago, and nobody that you would know or that is in this room tonight, and they said, you know, Brother Scott, I am struggling with depression. I really struggle with a heaviness about my spirit And sometimes the pressures of school get to me. Sometimes it's family stuff. And I just really struggle with my spirit. And you know, they were coming to me for help, and they said, how can that be helped in my life? And I said, well, it's very simple in a sense. I said, the answer starts and ends with Jesus Christ. And it most certainly does, because the Lord created us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him and therefore lean upon Him and not ourselves. The Lord didn't create us to handle our own problems. The Lord didn't create us to be able to manage our spirit apart from Him. No, that's why He gave us His Holy Spirit, so that He could be our joy and peace and satisfaction. And certainly these people here were struggling. Boy, there were a number of things that they encountered that were getting them off track, and their spirit was low. So how do you know if you're struggling with discouragement? Is it just when bad things happen around you? Well, Scott, this and this and this happened. I think I'm discouraged. No, there's some tell signs in your life that you can see that discouragement is setting in. Look for these. Okay, now I would assume that right now, at this time, most of you should feel like you're at a pretty good place in terms of your spirit, mostly because we heard about 6 or 7 messages. Okay? And if you were listening, whether it was messages about trusting the Lord or giving your problems to Him or how to handle temptation or bitterness or whatever sin, you're learning to quit living inside of yourself and cast your care upon the Lord. You're learning that He is the answer, right? And so when you're tempted or when you encounter discouraging things, you know, how can I recognize those things? How can I stay on track? Let me give you 3 things very quickly that are tell signs that discouragement is settling into your life, okay? And maybe you don't have these now, but notice them, okay? They're trigger points. Notice some symptoms here. Notice number 1 in verse 5, a negative spirit. A negative spirit. Look at their words here in chapter 21 and verse 5. It says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Okay, so they're at a discouraging point. Their spirit is low. Okay, and instead of taking that, turning it around and going to God and saying, Lord, You're the only one that can help us. Lord, we're so discouraged. Lord, what can You do? Lord, can You give me that joy that I need to have in this moment when I'm tempted just to walk around with my head down? Lord, I need that. They didn't do that. Okay, but their reaction here is showing where they are spiritually. And what was it? Well, they immediately go to Moses and they begin to speak against the Lord and they begin to speak against Moses. Okay, so the Bible is telling us right away that this is giving way to sinful action in their lives. And now they are verbalizing the negative place that they are, and they're doing it in a form of a negative spirit. It's a tell sign of a low or a spirit that's been brought low for some reason. And so look for that. You know, in those days where you just feel like, you know what, if somebody speaks to you, you're just going to go off on them. Well, there's a reason that's hovering beneath the surface. There's something that's happened, and you need to be able to identify that and say, Lord, something's not right. Lord, maybe it was this, or maybe it was that, or something somebody said, and I'm still thinking about that. Lord, that's not the place I want to be. Lord, I want to be at a place of encouragement, and that comes out of my relationship with You. So a negative spirit, a tell sign of someone who is living in a place of discouragement. So we see they spoke against God and against Moses. What's something else? Notice that they are number 5 in verse number 5 here. Let's continue reading. See what else unfolds here. It says, the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Notice here what the Bible says, that they spoke against God and against Moses here. They begin to shift blame onto others. They begin to point fingers. They begin to criticize other people and to not accept blame whatsoever. You know, sometimes that happens when somebody's just discouraged. They start pointing fingers. well, listen, you need to do this. That was your fault. And then I would be in a much better place if it wasn't for this circumstance or wasn't for you who did this. And that's a tell sign again that discouragement is taking place in your spirit. Boy, discouragement can derail you, just like not having your quiet time with God every day. Something happens, big, small, it gets in our system, we start to meditate about it, and then or contemplate on it, and then all of a sudden, we're in a disrupted place. All of a sudden, we're not thinking about that commitment that I made about not complaining anymore, or that commitment that I made to just trust God in the dark. Be mindful of that. Be conscious of the spirit that you have. And understand that negativism and also shifting blame can be a sign that you are, in fact, at a discouraging place. Notice verse 5 here. We see the third thing, and that is the exaggerating of the situation. Exaggerating the situation. What do the children of Israel say? For there is neither no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. What are they doing? They had water, and they did have bread, but they didn't have the kind that they wanted. And so now they're just exaggerating. Boy, remember, these people they're discouraged. Bad things have happened. And they're reacting instead of going to the Lord. They're just in the flesh, and they're responding in like kind. So these are three things to watch for. Three things. Be careful. Be careful. When you get bad news, be careful. When you get some disappointing news about something, be careful. Because Satan would love to use discouragement to put you in a place where you're not growing in the Lord. Sometimes that can be represented in family issues. Sometimes that can be represented in relationship struggles. Sometimes that can be academic in nature. But all of us here have to be mindful of discouragement. Notice this verse, and then we'll close tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you'd go over there, I just want to show you the end result of being at this place or dwelling in this place of ongoing discouragement. The people were discouraged because of the way. You notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul's actually addressing the same passage in Numbers 20 when he talks here in verse 9 of chapter 10. And he says this, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted Christ and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." This is again speaking back to what would take place in Numbers chapter 21. And I think it's a great reminder for us that when we get in a place where we are discouraged, We've lost confidence. We are low. We are despondent. We are distraught. And we are abiding there. When we are at that place, Paul wants us to understand that we are literally tempting God. You say, well, how are you doing that? Well, because ultimately, when we lack courage and confidence, we're lacking, as a believer, we're lacking courage and confidence in God. That's ultimately what I'm saying is I'm discouraged because of this problem's too big for God. I'm discouraged because God could have done something differently and made it differently and I could have it differently, but He didn't. And as a result, this is what we've got. Be careful of that. Again, there are a variety of things that could knock you and I off that track of growing in grace. Lord, I'm your child. Today, Lord, I want to move forward in my Christian life. Take time for Him every day. Review your commitments. But be careful that discouragement doesn't knock you off track. Because the devil would love to throw something your direction for you to lack that faith and trust that we ought to have in that moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. We all have to learn how to deal with disappointment, especially as a teenager when the world is coming at you 1,000 miles per hour, and as you get older and you begin to field bigger challenges and a greater difficulty, you're going to have to grow your dependence on the Lord. Never forget, teenager, the way that you handle difficulty, the way you handle a trial, is not to beat your chest and realize how good you are and how good you can be in that moment, but to realize how dependent you need to be upon the Lord. Boy, these 35 years that I have been in this world, I feel like every year the Lord drives home the point to me that I am nothing and He is everything. I don't have the wisdom enough. I don't have the physical or emotional strength inside of myself. It's all Him. And if I don't take that into my trials, then I can get off track very quickly. Don't be discouraged. Don't let problems or issues that arise throughout the day or through the next week or month derail you from what God did in your heart or wants to accomplish going forward. Heavenly Father, I pray that You be with our invitation time. And Lord, may we do business with You. Lord, maybe we need to just solidify the fact that we want to continue growing. Lord, maybe we need to just talk with You and say, Lord, continue to grow me and use whatever means You would have to do that. But Lord, help me, keep me from being in a place of discouragement. Lord, be with our invitation time. We love You and ask these things in Your name we pray. Amen. As Miss Hannah plays on the piano, the altar's open as it always is, and you're welcome to come and pray. Talk to the Lord about whatever you like. Whoever you are, wherever you are, let's take this time to speak to the Lord. Boy, the Lord wants us to walk with Him. The devil wants us to be down, discouraged, and ineffective. Don't allow that to be your story. Maybe you didn't have much of a game plan coming out of the retreat. Get a spiritual game plan together. Commit to read and follow with us as we go one chapter a day throughout the Word of God. Don't wait for another teen retreat or a teen camp to get serious about the Lord. Have that mindset every day. Lord, help me. Take your burdens and your disappointments to the Lord.